love you, I love you. Munyemo, I love you, I love you.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org. Non-commercial, community-powered radio. This is Musana's Musings. Stay tuned for I Love You, Minneapolis. Forget What I Said Yesterday.
Start to make sense and quit playing these I love you, Minneapolis, forget what I said yesterday. And my goodness, I have used this phrase so many times this week. But again, I still live here, I still love it here, and I am thankful to have been raised here. I am so excited this week to introduce y'all to our absolutely amazing guests. This is the first of two episodes dedicated to Pride, because we know this month is Pride Month, amazing, and this month is also Juneteenth, amazing. We also know that the Knicks won in 5 games. Knickerbockers, period. I love you, Carl Anthony Towns. There's just a lot going on right now, as you can see. So again, very excited to be here. Thank you all for listening. Programming on KFAI is made possible in part through grants from the state of Minnesota and listeners like you. And again, thank you for being here with us. We wouldn't be here without you. So without further ado, I would love to introduce our two amazing guests, and they're going to tell us about an amazing organization that they've been with since the very, very start. Alrighty, so I'm going to turn it over to our first guest and have her introduce herself.
Hello, everyone. My name is Yoni Light. I am a performing artist,
an entrepreneur, and just a creative that is moving throughout Minneapolis for many years. I'm originally from St. Paul. Shout out to 651. And yeah, I'm just so excited to be here.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Yoni. Y'all are in for a treat, I promise you. All right, we're going to turn it over to our second guest.
Nope. Hello, peace, y'all. I'm Sasha Bangs. I'm VDM's resident DJ, an open format Vogue DJ. That's my focus. But yeah, since I'm open format, I do a bunch of different genres. Dancer, performer, also from St. Paul.
Amazing. And y'all, on this station and in the cities, we bang for bangs. Hi. Yoni, I'm going to ask you to introduce yourself again, only because I have not turned the volume up. So the people would love to know your name and who you are.
I was wondering.
I can't hear myself.
We own up to our mistakes here on I Love You Minneapolis. Forget what I said yesterday.
Yes, love it.
Wonderful.
Okay. Hey, everybody. It's your girl, Yoni Light. I am a performing artist, a curator, and an entrepreneur that is based in Minneapolis. I am originally from St. Paul, though, and I'm super excited to be here and talk more about Vogue Down Minneapolis.
Fantastic. And of course, listeners, as you know, we have to ask every single one of our guests, in part because I'm the ringleader here. What is your favorite childhood memory that involves radio?
I was thinking about this, and it just kind of brought back so many memories of me and my family being in the car on the way to like church or somewhere that we were going, listening to 89.9 KMOJ. Shout out to KMOJ. Shout out to the North Side. We found so many amazing artists on that radio station. Some artists, or one person I want to name drop, is Ashley DeBose. And I just remember us all like being in the car singing our favorite songs. I think we like went as far to like get one of her CDs. And so it really introduced us to local talent that was doing amazing work and kind of just giving us a family moment that we could always come back to. So, yeah.
Oh my gosh, this is so lovely. Shout out to local artist Ashley DeBose, and shout out to, again, other independent radio stations, KMOJ.
Mine isn't as wholesome. I wish it was, but I feel like the first thing that pops out, well, definitely KMOJ, B96, 101.3. Yes, RIP. That was so sad. But Yeah. What were we talking about?
You a happy retirement.
Okay. Battle of the Roses. Was that what it was called?
Yes.
That was so shady. And to be on the way to school. If you don't remember, it was when people would, well, the radio host would pose as like a surprise flower delivery giveaway and call, they would promote it like, you want to see if he cheating? Like, call into us. And they would have not only us, we the people, i.e. me, in the sixth grade at like 7 a.m. listening to this in the back of my mom's car. And we're both locked in. But that was like our way. The whole time we were driving to school, like we were listening to that and motherfuckers would always be caught up. Sorry, I shouldn't be cussing. Sorry. I'm so sorry. I got a potty mouth. But yes, people would be caught up on the radio. And then, of course, just like listening to all the music. That was my only way of really like, yeah, listening to music other than like the cassettes and CDs my mom and dad had. So the radio was how I knew all the new music. And yeah.
Thank you, radio, for being our portal to the rest of the world. And thank you for connecting us in Minneapolis and St. Paul to folks around the state, folks around the nation, and folks around the world, because we are global.
Come on.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you all so much for sharing these stories. It warms my heart as a broadcaster, and I hope it warms the hearts of our listeners. Mm. So without further ado, also shout out to the Paul, which we'll get to right now.
Right. Say PC.
Yes, Yoni, I would love for you to describe your hometown, St. Paul, for listeners who have never been to Minnesota or folks from greater Minnesota who don't spend a ton of time in the Twin Cities.
So we're a part of the Twin Cities, so it's St. Paul and Minneapolis, and I always like to make the analogy that they're like two sisters. And St. Paul is like the sister that's like, I'm going to be in the house by like 7. I'm about to go to bed. I'm about to be very chill, low-key, very down to earth, I would say. And I feel like Minneapolis has more of like that fire. She wants to be out. She wants to have a good time. There's things to get into. And I think growing up in St. Paul, I think it always gave me a very humble and grounded just like way of life. I feel like obviously Minnesota in general, there's so many people that have migrated here. There's so many people who have so many transplants as well. So there's so many different influences. To me, I think St. Paul has a very like a certain level of hospitality. Like it feels like very Southern hospitality. My family is from Detroit and Chicago. So I feel like of course those places dealt with a lot of migration from the South, and then you kind of bring it up here. And yeah, I just feel like it's very calm. It's very grounded. I feel like there's a lot of mom and pop shop type of energy, really good food.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. She's going to get into it. No, you can get into it. But yeah, I think St. Paul just like it raised me. So wherever I go, I just feel like grounded and rooted in myself, regardless of any room that I step in.
Wow. Bon appetit. Shout out to the Paul. Alrighty, Sasha. And to you.
My turn?
Yes.
So describing it to someone who hasn't been here, correct?
Yes. Somebody who's never been to Minnesota or folks from greater Minnesota who don't spend a ton of time in the Twin Cities.
Yeah. Everything that Yoni said, I was thinking of. I was going to also say, like, there's so many hardworking people and families. Like, St. Paul, we're very hardworking. I think from a lot of people's experience, what I hear in Minneapolis that haven't grown up there or haven't had the privilege of experiencing it, like, we have a lot of the similar cultures, you know, live performance, different pillars of hip-hop, like, yeah, live music, dance, underground shows. I think it's just a matter of we have to get to work tomorrow. So, like, respectfully, we be shutting stuff down, like, in a timely manner. Do I wish some things would go past 7 p.m.?
Yes.
Sometimes, yes. But I think it keeps me disciplined, especially having to drive back there. I still live in St. Paul, and I love St. Paul. I also think traveling to New York really young, it's the only place that I've been that reminds me of home. I grew up on the west side of St. Paul and kind of in Rondo, which is so, it's just like the both sides of my family, like Black and Mexican, but both of them are intermixed. Like, you have Mexican people in Rondo and you also have Black people on the West Side. Mm-hmm. And going to New York young, that was like the first place I saw Black and Mexican people in every aspect of like the social ladder and different jobs and different arts, different careers, things like that. So I love St. Paul.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for, I think, giving such a gracious description of our capital city. Capital city goes through I think our capital city does get a lot of flack for not always being the most exciting place, not always being like filled with things to do.
We're regulated.
Right. I think as the pandemic has gone on, like, I feel like we, like, downtown St. Paul, like, what are we going to do with that?
Yeah. Right.
It's just good to remember that people are living, laughing, loving, enjoying their time, love their upbringing and in St. Paul, and like, we should visit it more.
Yeah.
I should cross the river more is basically what I'm saying. Alrighty, y'all. So, listeners, we will be discussing ballroom culture during this episode of I Love You Minneapolis, Forget What I Said Yesterday. And so the next question that I have for my lovely guests, as they are part of a collective that honors and... what is that word called when you upkeep, maintain?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes, ballroom culture. Is what were some of your earliest memories of learning about or being introduced to ballroom culture?
Oh, so I feel like me and Sasha had like this moment together, actually.
Yeah. Okay, y'all can collab on this answer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ping pong, ping
pong.
Do
you want to talk a little bit about Mikey?
Yeah, sure. So I grew up dancing, like, what's the word, like... only dancing, exclusively. And I had the first like crew / company I was in was with my first mother, like Vogue mother, named Mikey J. You remember Mikey?
Yes.
And he was the first person to actually introduce me to Vogue.
Mm-hmm.
He always would talk about how Minneapolis has always had a tie to Midwest Vogue chapters or ballroom chapters, specifically in Chicago. I feel like we talk about, at least us Black people in Minnesota, talk about how everybody got a cousin in Chicago and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, that was us. And that was also Mikey. Mikey lived in Chicago for a while and participated in their Vogue scene too. But Mikey, when we were, I want to say, the end of high school, so... Mm-hmm. 17, 18, Mikey kind of introduced first a little bit of Old Way and then Vogue Femme. And that's different genres of the dance style
Vogue.
Mm-hmm. Mikey did a lot of different genres of hip hop, but specifically he saw it for us and he kind of was like, I know y'all would eat this up. Mm-hmm. And we'd be dancing in our two-bedroom
duplex. Yeah, I always say we had like a very New York experience, because if you know that ballroom originated in New York and it's very small, the environment, like the apartments or those spaces just are very compact. And so we had a like... really, we used to call it our trap house because it was just so, it had character. We'll say it had character.
We'll say
and Mikey, I remember us being like in the hallway of our apartment and Mikey was just teaching us Vogue Femme. Mm-hmm. And we were just in this small little area, but he was just showing us videos and clips. And I think we kind of grew up, again, we're dancers. So we trained as dancers, like we went to performing arts high schools, but we also ended up making our own crew and we were performing artists and gig artists throughout the Twin Cities. So we knew of, I think, voguing as the dance style, but I think that Mikey was our actual personal tie to ballroom culture in a more in-depth way.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a ninja, by the way. So ninja's one of the houses that are really well known for, I feel like, making ballroom more mainstream and more international, with Willie Ninja being the creator of the House of Ninja. So that was kind of our first connection.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, this is so beautiful that this was a shared experience. We honor you, House of Ninja. We thank you, Mikey, for extending your arms, taking a chance on Sasha and Yoni, because they are both amazing leaders, amazing dancers, and can now share this glorious experience with not only me, but also our listeners.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. We are going to take a quick break, you all. We are going to hear from our sponsors because they help us keep the lights on. And then we're also going to listen to a song that Sasha and Yoni suggested for us that embodies the spirit of ballroom. This song will be The Ha Dance by the group Masters at Work. So we will see you soon. You are listening to I Love You Minneapolis, Forget What I Said Yesterday with Musana's Musings, Yoni Light, and Sasha Banks.
Programming on KFAI is supported in part by the Bush Foundation, investing in great ideas and the people who power them. Introducing the 2026 Bush Fellows, leaders working to make the region better for everyone. More information is online at bushfoundation.org.
Support for KFAI comes from the Cedar Cultural Center, presenting Summer at the Cedar 2026. Summer at the Cedar is a series of free weekly outdoor concerts on the Cedar Plaza every Wednesday evening from July 8th through August 5th. For the first concert of the series, the Cedar presents Wick Whitney, Wednesday, July 8th. Wick Whitney creates an eclectic, genre-spanning blend of hip-hop, folk, and funk. The latest album from this Chicago-based artist is Foolhardy. More information for Summer at the Cedar presenting Wick Whitney can be found at thecedar.org.
Can you hear me? Okay, I don't know who is listening. If you're listening, I love you. I swear to God, this is one of my children. This is your mother, Madre Rosa. And I hear you. And I love you. This is fantastic. And I know Mikey. Yes, he knows the ninja. Okay. And I love it. Yes, it is me. Oh my God, keep going. I love you. Okay, I love you. Bye-bye, mama. Mi amor. Mi niñas. Mamá.
And we are back. This is I Love You Minneapolis, Forget What I Said Yesterday. Again, I Love You Minneapolis, Forget What I Said Yesterday. I am your host, Musana's Musings. We are back with Yoni Light and Sasha Bangs from Vogue Down Minneapolis, which is very exciting. We wanted to shout out Madre Rosa for giving us a call during the Ha dance by Masters at Work. Thank you so much for your care, and thank you so much for supporting the broadcast this evening. We're going to go into our next set of questions. If any of y'all who are listening want to call, y'all can call too. Let us know how we're doing. Alrighty, so we'll get to this question soon. Bear with me. Yoni Light, along with Don West and Zora Gray, co-founded Vogue Down Minneapolis, which will be referred to throughout the broadcast as VDM. Sasha is VDM's resident DJ, and VDM is a Black queer artist collective dedicated to highlighting and preserving the rich cultural heritage of ballroom. Through a diverse array of events, classes, and sessions, the collective creates opportunities for individuals to learn, explore, and engage with ballroom culture in all of its dynamic forms. So, Yoni, this is a question for you, but Sasha, if you would like to hop in with, like, background information, any details, let us know.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Yoni, at what point did you and the other founders, Don, who we do miss, who can be here today, and Zora as well, at what point did y'all realize Minneapolis needed a youth-led collective to both preserve ballroom's cultural heritage and educate the community about ballroom's continuing evolution?
Yeah, so I'm like blanking on this exact year. I think it was 2021 or 2022. I would say that's like around the time that ballroom started to come back to the Twin Cities through the leadership of Chachi Jameer Versailles, Mikey Ninja, and Raven Ninja. Mm-hmm. These were people that kind of introduced it to us again. Like we had our first interaction with Mikey when we were younger, but you know, so we trusted Mikey. Mm-hmm. And they were at the time, I think, working at the saloon and decided to start throwing like Vogue nights, and from there started doing classes.
Yeah.
And so that's actually how I ended up meeting Don and Zora, I believe. But I remember meeting Don specifically in a class. It was like in the dressing room of saloon that Raven was teaching.
We love slamming our backs.
Yeah.
On some unfinished wood.
No, literally. And from there, like, we just really loved to like Vogue. Of course, Chachi kind of took us under her wing, so we were a part of the house of Kiki, House of Old Navy. So me, Zora, and Don, we all just from there started to like hang out a lot more and got a chance to practice in our perspective categories. So I think we were spending so much time together, and we realized that what we were experiencing was so much, you know, so much fun. It was so fulfilling, and we were able to find not only like a passion for a craft, but also family. We were able to build chosen family with each other, and we were like, we want other young people to experience this. Mm-hmm. So we decided to just start hosting sessions. And a session is basically like in dance culture, just kind of an open format space where you can come and practice your specific style of movement.
Yeah.
Very free form, very improv. It's not necessarily like a choreographed class. It's more like we have music and y'all can just be practicing whatever you want.
I think it was also an unintentional third space as well. Not that like, I don't remember any point, and it might have been a conversation with you and Don, but at least from my perspective, it was just like, there are no spaces prioritizing Black queer dancers who want to discipline themselves in ballroom and potentially compete, travel, and all of the things in regards to that. But I think it was like, we were those youth as well. And anytime we didn't have something, we were just like, well, we just need a speaker and a space to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And the people teaching us were also kind of like, willing to do that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we always knew, like, we were excited by the education and like history that we were learning. So I think that, and that's a really big root in Vogue Down in general, like just education and history, because it empowers you, like feeling, you get to feel like like I said, we weren't just doing a craft. We were also finding other people like us. And so that was kind of, that was the conversation we had where we're like, we don't want to do this alone. We want other people around us. And from there, it just kind of like, it blossomed into what it is now, which is still so crazy to me.
Shout out to it becoming, again, a collective, bringing us all together. Yes. I think it's also beautiful. I think throughout the show so far, you all have kept saying that it started with, like, human bodies and sound. Human bodies and music. It was, like, all it took was people who are willing to discipline themselves, willing to learn the music, the person to teach, and then it goes. And I think, I guess, like, when I as a spectator think of ballroom, think of the balls, whether they're a Kiki Zone or a mainstream ball, it is an extravagant display that takes a lot of time and effort to plan. And, like, the sessions take a lot of time to plan. The classes take a lot of time to plan. And I think it's a good reminder that, like, at its core, it really is, like, how connected are you to the human form?
Yeah.
And, like, how can you push your body? How can you move your body to... to, like, honor, venerate, and embody this form.
Or how willing you are to be that. Because a lot of the time, I think it makes or breaks you. But, like, truly, movement builds confidence. And so it will lay the groundwork for you to kind of come back to your body. And, yeah, I feel confident in that.
This is lovely. Thank you all. All right. And I would love to know how VDM has been so successful in maintaining the lines of communication between the Minneapolis ballroom community and ballroom communities across the nation. How have members of the collective, event attendees, and participants in your sessions and classes benefited from the network that you all have built?
I love that question.
Good question.
Thank you.
I would love to start with Sasha, because I would love to see from your perspective as someone that's been with us from the beginning and a collective member. When we talk about a collective, so again, we have the three founders. From there, we were able to kind of like collaborate with and connect with other really amazing Black, queer, and trans organizers, artists, curators, you know, people that are just out here doing the work that are also within ballroom. But the thing is, like, we don't just do one thing. We're all very multifaceted, and we decided to create like a whole kind of organization together in order to bring all their different skill sets to what we're doing with Vogue Down. But I would love to see how you feel and think, and then I would love to answer after.
Well, I can just speak from my own perspective. I think when we first started Vogue Down, I was already DJing just kind of like on my own and our own house parties and our own battles at home and stuff. We lived in a house with our collective, New Black City, which is a hip-hop, foundational hip-hop dance crew. And then once we kind of, like, started disciplining ourselves in Vogue and realizing we needed a space, it kind of, like, followed the same, I guess, equation as hip-hop, where it's, like, Vogue has a respective genre that goes with it. Just, like, you would not crump. You could crump to something else, but it's another story.
Yeah.
But there is like crump DJs that are invested in the history, the preservation, and the maintenance, like you said, of the whole entire culture. It's the same with Vogue. And I felt like Vogue Down not only allowed me to have that platform, but also kind of was able to, like, I guess, incubate Sasha Bangs as her own DJ and artist. And because balls are so long format, it was so much time to practice my craft and really, truly, just like mess it up, you know, and like still be able to show up in community and still be able to be seen in that way. And on top of that, respect the craft in the form of like playing ballroom music for ballroom dancers. So Vogue music for the Vogers, runway music for the runway contestants, and then so on and so forth. And so it was really like my springboard of like building confidence. Like I said, like movement and music in this sense built my confidence. And with ballroom, they will tell you immediately how you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, that was not your day, girl.
If you are not ready for the honest feedback, even as somebody who's not receiving it, it can just be jarring to watch.
Yeah.
There's a moment where sometimes I'm like...
But I think, right.
It's not necessary, but it's like, this is the culture. This is
and
the
I
way.
Think, I think in Minnesota, sometimes we can get a little bit too used to just A for effort. Mm-hmm. And we want to be our best, our best selves in so many different ways. And I think that reflects in the artist that I am. And so I'm someone who I need the critique. I need the back and forth. Mm-hmm. That is also a part of, like, being a DJ that, like, helps me, you know? And so when they're slamming their back, I know I'm doing something right. If people are kind of, like, dragging it on the edges and not on the floor, I'm like, okay, it's time to transition into another moment. But, yeah, I can only speak from my perspective. From there, I think that was my platform. And then when people, we got a little bit more of... attendance up, I feel like that kind of like led into my other like residencies that I got, especially since like there, I don't think there's been a Vogue DJ here for a minute, like who was strictly playing Vogue.
Yeah. And I was thinking on the question, and I think the way we were able to keep the lines of communication open for not only our own community, but for ballroom just around the world, around the world, honestly, was through, I think, being very clear about what our purpose was. And so I always go back to, we like to say our mission, like it is to educate, engage, and entertain. And education was the first seed for that. So from those sessions, we actually got our first ever teaching residency with Body Prayers Practice, which is a Black-owned dance studio that was in the Cole Center downtown Minneapolis. We did a month-long residency where we were able to teach people Vogue movement. And just in context, we were kittens, which in ballroom is like you're the young ones coming in, like this is your first time. So we knew that we were not legendary by any means, or we knew that we hadn't built a certain status. But of course, me and Don are both, we have dance backgrounds, and I think we are both very heavily like informed by education, having parents that were educators, being in that space. So we just used the tools that we had, along with Zora as well, to, just build a space where people could come and just break down what the little bits that we knew. And from there, I think the way we continued to communicate was through holding our own spaces. And so that was really important to us, because obviously there were not a lot. We're in Minnesota, it's very white. Like, I don't know if people know that. Our people know that. I think, like, of course, people of color know that.
Yeah.
And there's not always spaces that are really... willing to incorporate us in a genuine way. And so we were able to build a partnership with Lush Lounge and Theater in Northeast Minneapolis, where we hosted our first ever event called Kiki Zone. So Kiki Zone was a variety show as well as a Vogue night. And so with variety show, we wanted to highlight the local talent that was already in the Twin Cities, from drag performers to dancers to musicians, and give them a spotlight. And so they would open up the space. And from there, we would basically host a Vogue night and have different categories. Sasha would be DJing. Don and Zora would be on the microphone commentating. You know, we would have the community there, and there'll be people walking these perspective categories. And from there, we just continued on. I think what's kept us, what strengthened our ability to communicate with everyone, was partnerships. We were not trying to reinvent the wheel. We knew what we were strong at, and then we were like, listen, you're over here doing this. We're not going to try to make that same thing. We're just going to actually collaborate and work with each other. And I think that built gave us a lot of... like it built our reputation in a way, because we are very big on collaboration. We're very big on respecting our partnerships and the people that we connect with. And that also helped us have a broader reach, because we weren't just isolated in our small little groups of people. We were able to go over and do stuff with The Walker. We were able to go over and do stuff with Modus Locus Expansion Space. We were able to do stuff with the Trap Donuts in St. Paul. Like, there's so many different people over the years that have seen what we're able to do and how we bring people together. Of course, ballroom is the foundation, but I think at its core, like Sasha said, we really were creating third spaces for, like, BIPOC, queer, and trans people, especially because Minnesota is a trans refuge state. It's a state that I think is refuge for a lot of different communities, and people want to see themselves reflected.
Yeah.
Like, we're not in the default spaces. You know, we don't have the, like, gay nightclubs. Like, those spaces are not always very safe for our community. So it was imperative that we create all the different spaces that we want to go to, and not even just in nightlife, but also like in the daytime. Like, we want to just be at a pool with each other, just talking to each other, like connecting in a genuine human to human way. So I think that's how we were able to do it. And I'm going to wrap this up. Sorry. But when it comes to ballroom as a whole, and New York City is the mecca of ballroom, we were very conscious that, like, to being respectful of who and where this originated.
Yeah, and who sacrificed themselves, their lives for it.
Yes. Shout out to the Femme Queen Mothers. Shout out to the originators of ballroom. Shout out to the Butch Queens that were there. Just the whole entire community that put their lives on the line, and also just put all their resources into even creating such a culture as ballroom. We wanted to make sure that they knew we were respecting it and weren't just trying to, like, come and take anything. Yeah. So we actually invested our money into flying people to Minnesota who are from these places, legends and icons and up-and-coming statements as well, like people within our generation, to come and teach us, because we know that that's, again, always going to be the seed. So I think that's how we were able to communicate our impact.
Come on. That's my CEO, y'all.
Yes. Listeners, let us remember the three E's of VDM. Like, we are educated. VDM is educating. VDM is engaging. And VDM is also entertaining.
Come on.
We definitely honor the Femme Queens. We honor the Femme Queens who paved the way and created ballroom as a space for us. And we also honor the Butch Queens who followed within the Femme Queens' footsteps and continued to hold space as well.
Yes.
And I'm so excited that the both of you, like, went as in-depth on your answers as you did, because I think it touches on some of my other questions.
I was thinking that was going
to, which saves us some time, because we need to be here. Just a brief little interlude. You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org. Non-commercial, community-powered radio. You are listening to I Love You, Minneapolis, Forget What I Said Yesterday. Again, I Love You, Minneapolis, Forget What I Said Yesterday. I am Sana's Musings. You just heard from Yoni Light. And we have Sasha Banks in the building as well.
What?
From VDM. Oh my gosh. Alrighty.
Yes.
So my next question to y'all, and I think you've all touched on this, but if there's anything you want more you want to flesh out, now's the chance. What changes and or innovations to VDM did y'all introduce in the year 2026? How have these changes impacted your ability to serve the community? And the follow-up is, what changes and or innovations to VDM are y'all looking forward to the community, including me, I'm the community, experiencing in the next few months and or years?
Maybe the council. I feel like you should probably explain more. But that's my idea, like how it's kind of expanded from, like, VDM and specifically creating spaces to practice movement, more so to organizing and having a space for older generations and younger generations to have conversations.
Yeah. So we have a Minnesota Ballroom Council, and this is made up of different OGs that are in different houses. So Chachi Demir Versailles, Leo Balmain, T. Wade Ebony, Jasmine Garcon, and then, of course, I would say the people that also Crystal LaBeija, and then I would say the generations or the people that are part of Vogue Down that are on the council are Renaissance Ninja and JoJo Ventus Ninja. These are the mother and father of the Minneapolis Ninja chapter, as well as Don and I, Don West and Yonika 007. So we are representations for the kind of, like, younger generation, and they're also, like, our OGs and our leadership within the community, and we have built a council together. So these are more like decisions being made on a broader scale for ballroom in the Twin Cities. We are coming together to kind of organize, like, how people should go about, like, hosting balls and respecting ballroom just in general. I think that Vogue Down really does focus really intentionally on, like, the youth and, like, younger generation, kind of like our age, young adults. And all of these people, like our OGs, like, they have been in ballroom, you know, they've been walking for years. They're up and coming legends, and they're in, you know, they've already invested their time, and they were also a really big part of, you know, leading us and showing us that this is possible, being house mothers and fathers. So I think that was innovation that happened we've had the council for a couple years, but I think we've recently just like been able to become a part of it as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that that kind of brings, again, we're not trying to reinvent the wheel. So how mm-hmm. can we actually consolidate all of our resources together to mm-hmm. make something even more impactful?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I love this. Y'all, the ballroom community in the Twin Cities is in abundance.
We love y'all.
As a spectator, I am looking forward to all that you're going to be able to create and the ways that you're going to continue to support the community. And I think in these trying times globally, nationally, and even locally, just seeing intergenerational collaboration is a sign of strength, a sign of wisdom, a sign of maturity, and a sign of understanding that we're all we got. We're all we need, and we do need each other, which is extremely beautiful. Mm-hmm. Y'all, we have talked so much. I know I need a little bit of a break.
Yeah.
And I think our guests do too. So with that in mind, we're going to get some water. Y'all are going to listen to our next song, Din Dada, by the Kevin Aviance. You are listening to I Love You, Minneapolis. Forget what I said yesterday. Be back soon.
Come on.
Can we all come together? Can we all come together? Please. Come. I'm calling on you to come.
We were lost for a moment.
Oh my gosh.
We had a whole dance breakdown.
We almost didn't make it back. But you know what? We know that we owe it to y'all to be here with you during I Love You Minneapolis. Forget
what I said yesterday.
That was an echo. Again, I am Masada's Musings. This is Sasha Banks. This is Yoni Light. And we are back for the last couple of minutes. Thank you all for sticking with us this evening. Thank you all for supporting non-commercial community radio. We really wouldn't be here without you. And thank you all for supporting the Black, queer, and trans community during Pride. These are the stories that need to be told. These are the legacies that need to be remembered, especially during, as our government is continuing to unveil the levels of fascism that we know already exist. So with that in mind, we've got three more questions left for y'all. Okay, so this one's going to take a little bit of a turn into some other parts of the work that VDM does that I am fascinated about. In addition to hosting events, classes, and sessions for the queer BIPOC community in Minneapolis, we know that VDM receives invitations from colleges, community organizations, and businesses to perform, educate, and engage. The three E's and different E's. Okay, so this is a three-part question. Y'all can answer this as you see fit. The first part is VDM the first and or only collective taking on these types of contracts? Or did y'all model these contracts off of groups that have existed in other states or maybe even in Minnesota? Part two is, what do you hope that the colleges, community organizations, and businesses, and this is a non-exhaustive list, folks, again, many other entities can contact VDM as they wish, that you partner with, learn from VDM through these partnerships? And the last part is, how do the conversations that result from these sessions impact the colleges, community organizations, and businesses that you partner with?
This is good.
There's so much. There's a few things that popped up, but it was more towards the end of the question, so maybe we just start with the fact that we definitely are not the first ones to use this format. You can add to it.
Yeah. I was gonna say the same exact thing. I don't think we're the first ever to do something like this. I don't necessarily remember us having any specific examples, though. I think again, it's kind of rooted in all of our like individual work that we've done, especially just like conversations that both Don and I have had, and just having with our collective in general. Like again, we're made up of a very diverse group of people, and I think we have different skills and gifts to offer. I think that.
Well, I was just gonna add, because we were talking about the collaborations and different, you know, institutions and community events that we collaborate with. I do think one thing that sticks out for me is because so many of our trans siblings are still facing, you know, prejudice, risk, transphobia. And because this is a gift that has been taken and like commodified and is actively commodified, as we can see, people are making so much money off of it. Mainstream artists are making it their theme for albums and things like that. And so I am thinking of what Tabitha Gonzalez had said, like, we have to divest from making it about other people and make it about preservation. And of course, pay the dolls, book the dolls, the trans femme, trans mask, trans non-binary people, Black people. But I think also, like, how are these collaborations making it so they're not only extorting from us,
extracting, but also both.
I think both. I was thinking extort. Yes, and how are we making it so we're just not the the Black LGBTQ plus token for that month or that week or that theme of that party? And I think, like, I think of like our relationship with Samambo. That's kind of like our brother party, I'll say, because we've collaborated.
Shout out to Samambo. Yes, Quay. Afrobeats to the world.
Yes, Quay. Quay and Effigasm. That is like something that comes to mind, like a connection that doesn't feel, extortive. And
exploitative?
Yeah.
And that so, too.
All of the E's.
Yes, all of those. It's an E type of...
It's
broadcast, but yeah. It doesn't feel that way because I think that multiple people in both collectives are invested in each other, like as far as like relationships, like me and Effie have a relationship, Effie and other Vogue Down collectives have relationships, same with Quay. Me and Quay have been on other people's bills together as DJs hired out, and so like they're, I think that, yes, we do business together, but also we are creating a collective that is just bigger than just, you know, the brand that is Samambo, the brand that is Vogue Down, the brand that is Sasha Bangs. And we're creating like not only like, third spaces, but also a standard of what does our celebration together look like that does center the most vulnerable and marginalized of us, which we know are also the people that gave us ballroom and like a lot of the aesthetic and lingo that we are able to use and stuff. But yes, that's my answer.
I think that was a perfect answer, especially for a lot of our community partnerships. I would classify that as like people that work are our peers and we're in community with them. I think with specifically with the colleges that we've worked with, I think the it's been with specifically the like GSUs or like the
what like, does GSU stand for?
Gender study. I'm not even gonna lie to you. I can't even remember the full breakdown.
Basically,
right now,
the gender studies.
Yeah,
the
like,
departments.
Classes yeah, departments. Okay. Like the clubs. Like the clubs. So like how you have a GSA. Alliance. Like okay, you have a GSA in high school.
So it's not necessarily like that the whole college, but it's like those people who are like spearheading the. Yeah.
So those directors, we have relationships with them, either being in community with them or them seeing us promoting ourselves, and so those, it's already kind of tapped in with queer and trans like students and the that specific body of the student body. And so I think that we're already on a very similar level with what we want to do, and they have resource and they have the space and they want to invest in us. And I think we've been able to build genuine relationships with them because they see that what we're doing is very genuine and authentic to not just solely ballroom. I think that of course like it's come, ballroom has been, you know, is technically it's like a very underground how it originated, but it's back in the mainstream eye and whatever, there's so much to get into about that. But I think they just see that we show up with the intention and integrity and in what we're talking about, and we want people to learn more about themselves, learn more about queer history, learn more about, and also putting like queer and trans people in those environments to speak to those things. Like you don't need to go and hire some outsider to have a conversation about our lived experience. You can actually just hire us to come in and have conversations and teach classes and host events for the schools because they actually trust our eye and our taste and that we're going to show up and be respectful of them as well. Like there's not really any like tension or like we're being scared because it's like we're also a part of the same community. So yeah, I think that that's kind of how those connections specifically work along with our community connections too.
Yeah. I love this, y'all. We are on to our last question. And we'll definitely have to have y'all back on because ballroom culture is so expansive and it's changed my life. It's clearly changed the lives of Yoni and Sasha and so many others within our community and around the world. How can community members, our listeners as well here in the Twin Cities around the world, how can community members support VDM during Pride Month? And then also what can we as a community do year round to make sure VDM continues to hold space for the queer BIPOC community? And like specifically within that, honoring Black, queer and trans people, because that those were the originators of ballroom.
Well, for sure, follow Vogue Down Minneapolis on social.
Yes.
We post
if
a lot
feel
of
so inclined.
Yes, we feel we post information, knowledge, history, and then also upcoming events of ours and then like other community members who are hosting things.
So we actually have an event this month. It's June 17th. So Wednesday it's going to be from 6:30 to 10 p.m. at Lush Lounge and Theater. And this is our Juneteenth Vogue night. So we are also celebrating Juneteenth because we Black.
Yes.
And we love being Black. And we love being queer. And we love being trans, all the things. Yes. We are hosting that. And that's going to be just a space for people, again, kind of what I was saying. We have different categories. We're going to have people commentating. Sasha will be DJing. So it's going to be a really fun time. time. Yeah. And yeah, if you just want to come out to see it firsthand what ballroom mm-hmm. is like, you will be able to get examples. Yeah. And if you've been practicing in your bedroom and you mm-hmm. know some things, like come out and also try. I know that there